Good morning, everybody. Great to see you. For those I haven't seen, Happy New Year. And for those I have seen, Happy New Year again. It's great. 2026, who'd have thought it? Eh? So, you're all very, very welcome this morning. And it's good to see you all from up there and down here and over there. It's good to see you. We all gather to celebrate and to praise and to worship together. Because that's what God calls us to do, to worship together. And so we look forward to our worship with Lorraine. Welcome, Lorraine, leading us this morning. Good. And it's a wonderful opportunity just to be free of all the stuff that's going on in your lives and just to focus on the Lord and to give Him the glory. As far as notes is concerned, I think next week at Bethlehem you've got Peter leading the service. Here it's a fellowship service, and for those of the first of folk, what I'm asking you to do, because we're doing something slightly different, what I'm asking you to do is to, in the week, have a think about a verse, a Bible verse that means something to you, that's helped you through difficult times perhaps. Not necessarily a favourite verse, but something that you can hang on to in terms of your life, and to bring that verse along. Our Bible study starts on Thursday. So we didn't start last Thursday just as well, didn't we? Are there any other notices? Anything for Bethlehem? Chris? Any birthdays to celebrate?
Maybe at the beginning of the year.
Good. Right. Well, talking about the storm, I was thinking about it. Some words of a hymn came to me. The storm may roar without me. Without means outside. The storm may roar without me. My heart may low be laid. The storm within us. Storm within us, but God is round about me, and can I be dismayed? Can I be dismayed? The Lord surrounds us with His love, no matter what we're going through, with the storm outside us in our lives, the storm within us in our emotions, in our Him, all his angels, praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Heaven praise the Lord from the earth. So let's praise the Lord. And we're going to sing, what are we singing, Mike? Oh, thank you. There we are. Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise. Give you praise this morning. We lift our hearts to you in worship and in thanksgiving. We thank you for all that you have done for us. And Lord, as we think back to 2025, all the times you've been with us, without us, as the storm has raged within us, as our inner difficulties are there, but you have been with us. We cannot be dismayed. And so this morning, Lord, we come with joy in our hearts. We come to celebrate. We come to worship. Lord, we join together with friends, with your family, with our brothers and sisters. And so, Father, as we come together, so, Lord, we come together in joyful worship and praise. And, Father, as we come to you this morning, as we come in praise and we give you glory, we know, Lord, that we have fallen short in so many ways. And so, Father, we come to you, we say we're sorry. We're sorry, Lord. We want to just offer our apologies, our sense of repentance to you, knowing you are our loving Father, and that your arms will always wrap around us and tell us that we are from people and that we are made right with you. And so, Lord, we come and we adore you. Lord, we thank you for all that you have done in our lives. And we thank you for all that you will do, particularly in this year of 2026. Lord, we ask for your guidance, for your protection, for your leading us, and your being with us, and our being aware of your presence each and every day. And so, Father, we lift our hearts and voices to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Thinking about the times that with us through 2025 and into 2026. You bless my life. You heal me over and over again. God never tires being loving towards us, no matter what we do. Over and over again, you bless us.
Good morning, everyone, and a very happy new year to you all. We're going to start with our readings, please. I think Diane is first. The first reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 42, verses 1 to 9. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness, he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his law, the islands will put their hope. This is what God the Lord says. He who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and all that comes out of it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second reading is Matthew chapter 3. John the Baptist prepares the way. Oh, I thought I dropped something. Thank you. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt round his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of Jordan, confessing their sins. They were baptized with him by him in the river Jordan. But when he saw how many of the Pharisees and Sadducees were coming to be baptized, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of those stones God can raise up children of Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Then Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Diane and Margaret, for such clear reading. So John's ministry was to prepare the way for the Messiah, and his message was simple and straightforward. Repent, because the kingdom of heaven has come near. And when people repented, we hear that he baptized them. The Jewish people were looking for a deliverer to make things right in their country. They were a people whose land was occupied by an oppressive foreign government, and they longed for freedom. But it was more than that. It was a people whose relationship with God had grown cold. God had chosen their father Abraham to be the patriarch of the people hundreds of years before. And like many relationships, it started out strongly, but through the years, a bit of complacency had set in, and Israel started taking God for granted and turned her back on God. God gets Israel's attention throughout the history of the Bible through tragedy. The Israelites repent, and relationship is restored with God. And then the cycle begins again. John the Baptist comes along in one of the down cycles of Israel's relationship with God. And they had become complacent, taken God for granted, and turned their backs on him. And God had allowed them to experience discomfort in order to get their attention. And sometimes he does that with us too. And because God had always provided a deliverer in the past, people like Moses and David, there was great anticipation for the next manifestation of deliverer. John, as the preparer of the way, says what has to be said. Repent, because the kingdom of heaven has come near. It makes perfect sense, doesn't it? The people had to turn their hearts back to God in order to experience deliverance. And this occupation by a foreign conqueror is the method that God is using to get their attention. And John uniquely adapts a common practice of his day to teach the people about humility, commitment, and identification. Now, Judaism was very popular during the times when God was blessing Israel. Other nations and other people took note, and they wanted their piece of the blessing as well. And so, Gentiles petitioned to become Jews. And the Gentiles who wanted to become Jews were called proselytes. In the simplest sense, this means a convert. In our context, a proselyte is a Gentile, i.e. a non-Jew, becoming a Jew. And for a Gentile to become a fully fledged Jew, and any Gentile could do this, there was a three-step process that had to be completed. The first step was to offer a sacrifice, a pair of turtle doves or a heifer was brought to the priest and given as a burnt offering to God. Obviously, there was an expense involved in that, and the lifeblood of the animal was spilled. The next was circumcision, the cutting away of a piece of flesh from a man's body. For a Jewish boy, this, of course, is done when he is 8 years old, in accordance with the law given to Abraham in the book of Genesis. And thus, the pain wasn't remembered. And I read the other day a really interesting fact about circumcision, in that apparently at 8 days old is when an infant has just the right amount of vitamin K and all of the immune system is built up to that eighth day. And so it made perfect sense for the circumcision to take place then. But an adult male who wanted to become a proselyte had to undergo the procedure regardless of his age. And I can see a few men here, and indeed a few women, who were wincing when I mentioned that. And I think this would have prevented someone from jumping into this without careful thought. Do you? Men didn't just impulse buy Judaism because the cost was a bit too much. And circumcision was the distinguishing and permanent, if irreversible, identifying mark on their body to designate them as the only people on earth who were in covenant relationship with God. And then, after the circumcision wound had healed and more wincing involved, the proselyte went through the final stage, baptism. The person stripped off all of their clothes, and he then went into the water naked and dipped himself under water, making sure to cover every part of his body with water so that not one bit of flesh remained dry. Now you can imagine that this process would require a level of humility in order to go through it. It wasn't a walk in the park. It was something that one did with exceptional contemplation. And this wasn't just an add-on to your life. Becoming Jewish didn't just add another god in your life or another idol. In a sense, the Gentile, the non-Jew, died when he went under the water. And he came up as a new person with a new name. And a new identity was born when he or she came out of the water. And John adopts this proselyte's baptism and morphs it into a baptism of repentance. And of course, John's task wasn't to get people into Judaism. It was to get God's people to realize their sin and turn back to God. To turn from self-centeredness to God-centeredness. And the baptism was a moment of humility, commitment, and identification. It was a time that a person could look and say, that is when I made my commitment to God. John called all people to repent of their sins, Jews and Gentiles alike. He wanted them to prepare for the Messiah's arrival. And his baptism symbolized disassociation with the former life, which meant, like a Gentile proselyte, a person had to acknowledge his sin and defilement, his need for cleansing, his need to repent before baptism. And John the Baptist baptized those who humbled themselves by immersing them in the cleansing water of the River Jordan. But he makes it incredibly clear, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. John is pointing the way to Jesus. So imagine John the Baptist's surprise when Jesus approaches him and asks John to baptize him. Can you imagine the confusion of John at that particular time? Because he's obviously thinking, but this is not somebody who needs to repent. So why is he coming to me for baptism? He's already distinguished the fact that someone will be coming to baptize people with Holy Spirit and with fire. And yet we hear that Jesus insists, let it be so now. It's proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus chose to be baptized, to fully identify with humanity. And this act symbolizes his willingness to take on our sins of the world and his commitment to fulfill God's plan. Jesus does not enter the water because he requires cleansing. He enters because he is joining. He is showing solidarity. He stands where sinners stand. And this is how righteousness gets fulfilled in the book of Matthew. God's faithful purpose is not shouted from a distance, but enacted from within. How many of you have visited the River Jordan? Show of hands. Quite a few. Isn't it amazing to go to Israel full stop on a pilgrimage journey? Brings the Bible to life when you read a passage and you can picture where Jesus walked. It's just amazing, isn't it? I was blessed to be rededicated in the River Jordan in 2008 on my first pilgrimage visit to Israel. And it was incredibly special. And there's a few people here today who were there with me. As I was preparing for this today, it dawned on me that the baptism is a new beginning. Now, obviously, I could not be baptized in the River Jordan because I had already been baptized, but chose to be rededicated. But we think about baptism as a new beginning. And it was only as I was reflecting last night that I realized that it was only 2 days after my rededication in the Jordan that God called me to become a local preacher. A new beginning. What I hadn't appreciated at the time when that happened, because I didn't know my Bible very well at that point, was the significance of the place. The River Jordan, of course, is the place where Joshua led the Israelites into the Promised Land after the 40 years of wandering. He led them into a new beginning. And so the River Jordan is a place of beginnings. And now Jesus, the new Joshua, with the Hebrew name of Joshua, steps into that boundary place where God brings the people through the water into calling. And after being baptized, Jesus immediately went up from the water. Matthew's immediately adds urgency to the situation. There's much work to be done here. And then Matthew introduces revelation. The heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove. It is a gentle authority. God's life resting on the Son and his mission on earth. Matthew's baptism scene functions as a public unveiling, with all three persons of the Trinity being present in this wonderful scene. God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the River Jordan becomes a doorway between heaven and earth. The world is not sealed. God is not locked away. He is near with visible, saving presence. Matthew presents that longing answered at the river. Heaven opens over Jesus, and by extension, over his ministry. And Matthew's wording strongly invokes the servant language that we heard in the first reading, Isaiah 42. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. Jesus' kingship will look like servanthood. His authority will be expressed as healing fidelity, not a crushing dominance. Jesus' willingness to be baptized alongside sinners teaches us about humility and the importance of following God's will, even when it may not seem necessary. It encourages us to embrace our faith and follow the example which Jesus set. And Jesus stepped into our place so that the heavens can also open over us. The faithful Son of God took his place among the unfaithful to begin a rescue mission. And what a gift we receive when we place our faith and our trust in him. God is not distant. He has opened the heavens to be with us and wants us to be in relationship with him. Through Jesus paying the price for our sin, we can be in a direct and personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And Jesus has invited the whole of the human race into that relationship. He calls us to live out our lives and our faith with humility, with purpose, and to follow Jesus' example of obedience. And as we begin this new year, may we also resolve to dedicate our lives to God in a more humble and obedient way. Amen. And as we think about Jesus being fully human, fully divine, we sing meekness and majesty, manhood and deity. And trusting in the God who speaks over the waters and calls each one of us beloved, let us bring our prayers for the world, the church, and all who long for hope today. Let us pray. God of all creation, your voice echoes over the waters, speaking peace where there is conflict, justice where there is oppression, and courage where people are afraid. We pray for places torn by violence and war, for Israel and Palestine, for Ukraine, and for Venezuela, and for all nations where fear is overwhelming daily life. Move the hearts of leaders towards mercy and wisdom, and help us to be people who work for peace here and now. God of mercy, hear our prayer. God, whose spirit hovered over the waters of creation, teach us to care for this beautiful, fragile planet where oceans are polluted, forests destroyed, and communities threatened by climate change. Call us again into partnership with your renewing work and strengthen all who fight for environmental justice. And give us the courage to live more gently and more responsibly. God of life, hear our prayer. God who knows every village, every city, every street, we pray for our island in a time of uncertainty and strain, We remember all those of us struggling with the rising cost of living, those of us waiting for medical care, those of us working long hours in difficult conditions, and all who feel forgotten or left behind. We give thanks for the quiet kindnesses that sustain our communities, for teachers, carers, hospital workers, volunteers, food banks, community centres, and neighbours who look out for one another. And bless our own community here, its families, its workplaces, its gathering places, and help us to be signs of welcome and hope. God of compassion, hear our prayer. God, whose spirit descended like a dove, we pray for your church throughout the world. Make us people who reflect your inclusivity and justice, your tenderness and courage. Where the church has excluded, heal us. Where we have been silent in the face of injustice, awaken us. And where we are weary, renew us. Bless this congregations, these congregations, our local preachers, ministers, musicians, leaders, and all volunteers, and every person gathered here today. May we live as those who have heard your voice saying, "You are my beloved." God of hope, hear our prayer. Holy God, as we step into this new year, remind us again of who we are. Your children, your beloved, your people called to live with courage and kindness. Renew in us the gifts of your Spirit, that we may hear your voice in our daily lives and follow your way with joy. God, who calls us beloved, hear our prayer. Amen.
Amen.
And we say together the prayer which Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Yes.
It's now time for the offertory, please, for the gifts for the church.
Spread the name of Amen.
God, who called creation out of the waters, speak peace into our hearts and across the world. And may the Christ who stood in the Jordan stand with us in every river that we cross. And may the Spirit who descended like a dove rest upon us in gentleness and power. And may we go from here knowing deep within us the truth God speaks over every life. You are my beloved, and with you I am well pleased. Amen. And may we close with sharing the grace with one another. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.